The Transportation Security Administration has a $15,000 reward for whoever can think of a way to speed up the passenger screening process at the airport. Federal agencies do contests all the time, and that's a good thing, many people believe. What is shocking is where the news is coming from. Steve Kelman's professor of public management at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government and my guest on Industry Chatter today. And Steve, the reason I have you on to talk about this, normally I like to get you on when you're writing something about procurement or acquisition or something, but you struck a chord with me, Steve. This is something that I've been talking about for a long time, and your piece is titled Contests and Positive Press. Where did you see this news about the Transportation Security Administration contest, and why did it strike you as so noteworthy?
Well, believe it or not, Francis, and listeners, actually, I saw it on the NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams. I'm one of those old-fashioned, ancient guys who actually, when I'm in town and home in time, I watch the NBC Nightly News every night, like about 9 million Americans. That's down from 20 million 20 years ago, but still a lot of people. And just all of a sudden, Brian Williams says, and after the commercial break, TSA has a contest to improve waiting on lines. And I did a double take. I couldn't believe this was on TV. And here it was, on the one hand, a good news story about something the TSA was doing to try to serve the public better. And it was, it actually, Brian Williams said, go on our website. We have information about how to enter the contest or enter with an idea if you want. It was positive in that it was something TSA was doing to serve the public. But it was also positive in that you didn't just get this idea of dour, buttoned-down bureaucrats sitting at their desks. It was a little bit playful. It was a little bit, by government standards, edgy, a contest. Wow, this isn't what the government does. They don't do contests. They write rules. They do this. So I thought it was a very cool story. I was very happy to see it. We don't see enough stories like that.
I went and looked at the NBC coverage that you linked to in your blog post, and we have a link to your post at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. It's Steve's latest post on the Lectern blog. I looked at NBC's coverage. I thought the coverage was positive. I thought the way they presented it was very positive. I was very pleased to see it as you are because, you know, for a living, I tell stories about what's going on in the federal government, and I give people who do it a chance to tell their stories. I have been on this crusade, I guess, for a long time, Steve, and in trying to let people know that when they have positive stories to tell, they have an outlet to tell them. And it's not just on my program. It's with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp in the morning. And my colleague Jason Miller covers them. And my colleague Jared Serbu covers them. And our web team covers them. And we have just the most difficult time getting people to be willing to say, yes, we've done something, we're proud of what we've done, and we'd like to tell the story of how we got to that. And that is the back end of what you're writing about, which I agree with what you've written, but the back end of it is that while there are plenty of people in government who want to tell their stories, something's happening. There's some disconnect between that person and the outlets like ours. And it's not just me. And it's not just Federal News Radio. There are other players in this space. But there's some disconnect there somewhere where somebody's getting in the middle and saying, I don't think we'll tell those stories.
That's really interesting, Francis. I think you have, for the federal news radios of the world and some of the other outlets, some of the trade press and so forth in D.C. that cover the government, let's call it almost for the government, for people who care about government, there, I think, is your example. It's a really fascinating story you're telling, frankly, and a little bit distressing. Excuse me. It maybe is a supply story. There's a lack of supply that for whatever reason, I mean, I think my guess, who knows? I mean, I think there has become I'm even going to call it a long-term trend, unfortunately, where people are, you know, the political leadership and so forth is so sensitive about the media that they don't want employees, particularly civil servants, to talk to the media. And I think it's gone too far. I mean, I was a political the last time I was in the government in the 90s, but my instruction was, if you want to talk to the media, use your good judgment. Now, people in positions like the ones I had, now, this is at a political level, not at a career level. Career level is even worse. But even people like positions like mine at a political level cannot talk to the media without having it filtered through, approved by, vetted by their press people. I mean, people have gotten so paranoid, and that presumably applies in spades to the career folks. I mean, my guess is that at most agencies, this is just a guess, I'd be curious to hear from your listeners. My guess is that at most agencies, if you're a career person, you are basically under orders. You're not allowed to talk to media unless you go through some complicated process at the press office. Even then, they'll probably say no and so forth. That's a supply issue. I think in the broader, the NBC Nightly News, is New York Times, even the Post, which obviously covers Washington, but also is a broader newspaper. There, I think it's more of a demand problem, where the journalists don't want to run these stories, even if they were available.
Well, you get to a point pursuant to that in your piece. We need to take it for given that you write, Steve, that media coverage will emphasize the negative about institutions in general, not only government, and that is what it is. It's hard to get attention for a good news story about agency performance, especially if the source is the agency itself. Journalists inherently distrust such self-promotional pitches. I would take issue with that. I mean, you're publishing this in Federal Computer Week, and I know Troy Schneider there, and I respect him tremendously. I think he's a good journalist. My colleague Jason used to work at FCW, and I respected his work while he was there. There are others in this space who I enjoy friendships with and who I like and respect as very accomplished journalists. I would argue, Steve, that Troy and his colleagues there, me and my colleagues here and others, are happy to tell good stories. I'll give you one example. I went on a JAG at the Management of Change conference talking about this issue, and we'll talk about that in a little bit because I have some thoughts that I think are appropriate. But a guy came up to me at an event after that and said, Steve, or Francis, were you serious about what you said? I have a great story that happened at Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And they deployed an electronic health record system on time and under budget, and the end users love it. If you're serious, we would like to tell that story. And we did the story, and we'll put a link to that later at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And the point is not to only tell the good news. We're not going to do only the good stuff. We are, as you say, going to tell all the stories that go on here. But I appreciate your insight, too, as to why this may be so difficult in the environment that we're in now, when I would think that with all the emphasis in the general media about all the bad things and the level of surprise that you reached with the NBC Nightly News story, one would think that there would be a tremendous desire to talk about the good things that have happened.
Yeah, and I think that depending on the media outlet, I think you're in a world with Fed News Radio, FCW, Troy Schneider, the rest of the trade press around town, which does a really fantastic job, and you're a fantastic counterweight to some of the other media. The problem you face, I'm calling it a supply problem, that is to say, civil servants who are not willing to come forth and talk to you. Those are the examples you're giving. And I think they're being muzzled by these very paranoid communications specialists or whatever want to control everything. You know, watch has become more paranoid, again, even compared to when I was in town in the 90s a while ago. I think your kind of journalists, I think you're absolutely right. The Francis Rose of the world, the Tom Temmons of the world, I've known Tom for a very long time. I knew him when I was in the government. The Troy Schneiders of the world, you are certainly willing to tell those stories. And if you're not able to tell more of them, I think it's a problem that the feds are not coming forward enough. However, I think the more you get to the big national media, the news broadcasts, the Times, the Post, the Journal, et cetera, the more their journalists are part of this very skeptical, if not cynical, journalist culture, which is the dominant culture in a lot of journalism and which distrusts all institutions. And even if that GS-15 that you'd like to come forward from FCC or wherever, I can't remember what the agency said was, came forth, and he went to the Times, the guy would probably, the journalist would say, oh, you're just spinning me or whatever. I mean, I think that I really think there's a difference there. It's a demand problem. The journalists are not demanding that kind of news. You, Francis, Tom Temin, Jason Miller, Troy Schneider, you guys are demanding. You're not getting enough supply. I think in saying this, sort of the national media, the journalists aren't demanding. And I think in those cases, the strategies I recommend in the blog to feds trying to get good stories, one is, if you have a good substantive story about your project under budget and so forth, you got to be open to either pointing out or just certainly inviting and making clear you're to the journalists, go talk to anyone you want to about this. You know, talk to other people. Don't take my word for it. And I think getting across that message, not trying to give them a press release for that kind of person, I think is helpful. The other thing, one of the things that struck me about the story on NBC Nightly News was, it wasn't even a story about the performance of TSA. It was a statement. It was a story about. Excuse me, again, I mentioned to friends before we started a little bit. I've been teaching all week. My voice is disappearing. I apologize to your listeners. But I think the story on the NBC Nightly News was a story, I guess the way I characterize it, about TSA doing something a little bit cool. Excuse me. And it was really how they were behaving. It wasn't, you know, they've gotten people through the lines faster. They've stopped these terrorists. That would be a good story, too. But it's almost easier, I think, for a government agency to get a story about a man bites dog, you know, people we expect to be these uptight, you know, button-down, pencil-pushing bureaucrats are actually being a little playful, a little different, a little creative. I think that story is almost an easier sell, I think, for the national media.